Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Well, I try to take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what, and to step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't think I would have any advice per se because I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it one way or another, good or bad.
I think it comes down to being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal because everything that happens to me happens to just basically everybody, especially women.
You're listening to The Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Well, hello there. Welcome to The Well Woman Show, where I get to interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever feel like you need to be Wonder Woman to get everything done and be the awesome, powerful woman you know you can be? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have, but we don't use all the time. Toward the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers are unbelievably powerful. I'm thrilled that you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is leading from the heart, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to take your leadership to the next level. My guest today is Nina Simons, president and co-founder of Bioneers, and founder of Every Woman's Leadership. Nina Simons is an award-winning social entrepreneur and visionary thinker. In 1990, she co-founded Bioneers, which for 25 years has connected thousands of people with practical, visionary solutions for humanity's most pressing environmental and social challenges. Nina is also co-editor of the anthology book Moonrise, The Power of Women Leading from the Heart, which addresses how women and many men are redefining the leadership landscape across a diversity of perspectives, generations, and ethnicities. Today, I'm going to talk to Nina about creating the conditions for deep listening, creating inner spaciousness, relational intelligence, and lots more, all as contributing factors to truly leading from the heart. And Nina has generously given us the first part of her book, Moonrise, so listeners can download it at wellwomanlife.com/Nina. I love the book because it brings over 30 women's voices to the topic of leadership, and I think you'll really enjoy my guest's insights on the show today. We talk about her epiphany, I ask her a question she's never been asked before, and we hear about her superpowers for success, including how loving her body is part of her daily ritual. But before we get started, a quick word about our sponsor. I want to thank our sponsor today, Leafy Greens. They provide seasonal cleanses and nutrition consultations, and I love them. Leah is the owner, and she does a wonderful 21-day cleanse that literally changed my life a couple of years ago. Visit eatleafygreens.org/wellwoman to sign up for the cleanse and get a great discount. I am so pleased to be speaking with you this morning, Nina Simons. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Giovanna. It's great to be here with you.
Nina, let's just start with giving me a short summary of who you are and what your commitment is to women's well-being.
I am a many-faceted woman who began my professional life working in the arts and then had a transformative experience where I realized how committed I was to the natural world as kind of a spiritual source. And then, rather late in my life, I had this epiphany about my identity as a woman. And it came through a number of ways, but I realized that my identity as a woman was really influencing my leadership and my experience of the world and how I showed up in the world. And I also realized that many of the biggest social and environmental problems that we face could be seen as a result of the imbalance of the masculine and the feminine in our culture.
Oh my gosh, I have to stop you right there because there's so much in what you're saying here. For the listeners, I just want to ask you, what exactly was the transformative experience that led you on this journey that you just mentioned at the beginning?
That was an experience with a garden in southern New Mexico, where my husband had been invited to film a garden that was a very unusual biodiversity garden, and I went with him thinking I was going for a weekend in the country. And we were given a tour of this garden by this master gardener, and it had hundreds of food and flower and herb plants of tremendous diversity growing in very close proximity. And everything was in bloom and everything was gorgeous. And there were sunflowers 7 or 8 feet tall. And he would introduce us to each plant as we walked through the garden. And he would tell us their Latin name and then their common name. And then he would explain how they were related to all the plants around them. And then he invited us to taste things as we went through the garden. And so I found myself tasting the best tasting tomatoes I'd ever imagined, and herbs like chocolate basil, and seeing these exquisite colors and shapes, and amaranth and quinoa. And this was in the late 1980s. And I thought maybe the Garden of Eden was written because of a garden like this. And I realized all my senses were just dancing. And I had never experienced anything like it. And then he started explaining about the loss of biodiversity in the food system and how all these giant multinational corporations were gobbling up all the mom and pop little companies that had been conserving the diversity. And he explained how if we lost all that diversity, it was going to be a real threat to the future of our survival. And by the time I stepped out of that garden, my experience, Giovanna, was that I felt like the spirit of the natural world tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're working for me now."
What do you think allowed that to happen?
That's a great question. I think that I was at a time where I was sort of scanning for what my next body of work was. I was working at the time, but I knew that it wasn't as meaningful to me inwardly as I really wanted it to be. And I think that that experience in the garden was so transporting. It was so like all of me was engaged. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the way that my senses, my body, my heart, my mind, my sense of spirit, if you will, was all of me was focused on that sensorial moment and experience. And so I was listening inwardly very attentively. Mm-hmm. And so I mean, it's a great question, and I've never even asked myself that, but I think that's why. What I realized I should add is that I'm in a moment right now in my life, this is many years later than that, where I feel like I've reached a new layer of my own self-development in terms of creating the conditions for deep listening. I'm noticing how much I have a bias toward activating and doing, and that my tendency to be overly responsive and perhaps even overly generous or generative gets in the way of my listening as deeply as I feel I need to right now. So I thought I would mention that just for listeners, because, you know, here I am at age 58 and I'm still working on it. I think it's a lifelong practice.
It is a lifelong practice. So I love this, creating the conditions for deep listening. How are you doing that?
Well, I'm starting a meditation practice, for one thing.
You haven't had a meditation practice before?
You know, I've meditated, I've been taught to meditate in various ways, but it's not been a very regular, rigorous practice of mine through my life. And I actually was motivated to start again recently, partly because of my blood pressure. I just woke up one morning and thought, oh, and I had been trying to regulate my blood pressure using medication and other things and exercise. And one morning I just woke up and I knew, oh, I have to meditate. And I meditated that morning before I got out of bed. And when I got up from it, my blood pressure was normal. So it was such fast biofeedback. And so I'm really sort of experimenting right now to see what kind of meditation practice is going to be right for me to continue ongoing. My experience so far is that there is a result from meditating regularly that creates a kind of inner spaciousness, that if I don't meditate, I don't have it. I tend to be someone who does a lot very quickly and who multitasks a lot. And so one way of creating more inner spaciousness is the meditation work. And then another thing that I'm doing is I'm really examining my relationship to time, because I think that I have some patterns that have worked well for me up until now, but that I really notice now that I need to change in order to be more effective in my work and my leadership.
So your relationship to time, I mean, what I take from that is like you're really busy and multitasking, but what are you really examining there and changing?
That's, again, a great question. You're very good at going to the root of things. Thank you. I'm examining tendencies that I have to be late, to schedule so much back to back that my inner experience is that I'm in a constant kind of frenzy from one thing to the next. I'm working with a coach, because I really realized how unhappy I was about this pattern and the effects it was creating in me and in people around me and in the work. So one of the things that she has me doing is actually trying to schedule 15 minutes before and after every event, which is mind-blowing.
Hello. I know.
Well, and preparing for each event so that I bring my full presence into exactly what I'm doing at the moment that I'm doing it. I'm also examining my history with time, especially in my childhood years up until age 15. So I'm examining, like, what are my memories of the media messages that I got about time? What are my memories of the messages I got from my parents around time?
And what were those? Like, you had to always hurry up and get places, or?
Well, I think, no, they were different, you know. I think that there was a consistent emphasis on activity rather than being, which I think is chronic in our culture, right? And as women, I think it's one of the things we really have to decolonize ourselves from in order to give more emphasis to our experience and not just to our outcomes or our output. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father worked very hard in a lot of hours. So I kind of got it that that was a template for how you did things if you were professional and cared about what you did. My mother was almost constantly busy, and I think it was one of the ways that she avoided her own creativity and her fear of failing around her own creativity.
I want to just go back to something you said in your introduction about having an epiphany where you realized you needed to look at your identity as a woman.
Right.
What was that epiphany and what made you take that road?
I was loaned a videotape of a film which listeners can actually see online now. It's called The Burning Times. And it's an hour-long film about the period in European history for about 300 years where systematically women were persecuted and tortured and burned for the supposed crime of being witches. And, you know, we learned about that in this country in terms of the Salem witch trials, but they were a tiny, tiny fractal of what happened in Europe, which actually occurred in almost every country and over six generations. And when I saw it, it impacted me so deeply. I realized when I saw it that the legacy of that time is still alive in my bones. It was the first time in my life that I understood, Giovanna, why I had this fear of speaking my truth in public. And it was the first time that I began to understand why all of the human qualities associated with the feminine in me, I tended to undervalue. Whereas all the human qualities associated with the masculine, I tended to overvalue.
And just give us an example of some of those feminine qualities versus masculine qualities. What exactly are we talking about?
Well, you know, for me, what I realized was I tend to have a very active sense of what I call relational intelligence. And I actually think most women do, because I think that it's both biologically and culturally conferred on us. That as mothers, you know, biology has evolved us to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And so, for example, you know, I am constantly scanning for other people in the room and what they're feeling and what I'm picking up from their body language and what their needs are. And in many ways, part of my self-development has been as an adult to learn how to hear myself as well as I can read other people. So, you know, I think this is a gross oversimplification, but I think that our feminine qualities include deep listening and receptivity, empathy, relational awareness and intelligence, a tendency for collaboration and connection, actually, where I think the masculine in us tends to incline us toward individuality and focus. I think the feminine inclines us toward a more contextual overview that takes into account many more of the factors. So it's a really interesting thing. I mean, I agree with you that it's really shifting. And for me, it was a moment where I realized that I had been succeeding as an entrepreneur and as a businesswoman mostly through my masculine traits. And I really wanted to cultivate my more feminine side so that I could live in greater balance and be able to draw from anywhere on that gender spectrum.
I just want to know if you were so successful, which you were, when you were using those masculine traits most, how did that impact your quote unquote success when you started really focusing on the feminine?
Well, it's an ongoing story. You know, I don't think it was like flipping a switch. I think you asked a different question than I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to ask me what motivated me. And so I thought, what motivated me? And what I realized was that what motivated me was a desire for greater fulfillment in my own life, that even though all that sort of masculine-based activity was working, I wasn't very happy. And I wasn't really enjoying my work, even though I liked it in a big picture way. But my inner experience of it wasn't really as yummy as I wanted it to be. And so I think, you know, my life feels like it's as successful, it's different, and I'm continually learning. I still feel like I'm in a process of what I call decolonization from a patriarchal culture that's causing me to keep peeling away layers of learned behavior to live in a more balanced way.
And again, I think that men are also going through this, trying to understand their role in a patriarchal culture.
Absolutely. Although I think it's worth noting that we're all struggling to reclaim a healthy definition of what the masculine and the feminine really are. Because actually, I think we've inherited a lot of very messed up definitions that have caused very painful outcomes and behaviors, and perhaps as or more damaging for men as for women. So, yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm speaking with Nina Simons, co-founder of Bioneers.org. Nina, we're going into a segment I call Superpowers for Success. So I want to ask you a few sort of quick round questions where we really get at some kind of key takeaways that listeners can, you know, sort of use in their own lives. And let's just start out by asking you, you know, what does success actually mean to you?
I think for me, success is really closely equated with fulfillment, with living fully engaged with my sense of purpose and what I feel like I was born to bring to this world. And at the same time, I think success, as I'm getting older, I'm learning that success not only is about measured by me, by my impact on the world, but my own sense of what I call congruence or coherence, which includes my self-care and my ability to really value and cherish myself, as well as the people around me and the causes around me that I really love and care about.
When did you know, Nina, that you were really good at what you do?
That's a hard question for me to answer. I think that I am really good at some of the things that I do and not as good at other things that I do. And I guess, you know, my quest is to appreciate and value what I do well at the same time as I really yearn for achieving the kind of excellence or balance. So I don't know. I mean, I think I started being able to appreciate that there were things I was really good at around age 40.
Was it when you were like standing in front of an audience of 3,000 people? Like, oh my gosh, okay, I kind of rock. Or was it like when was it something else, more intimate?
That's a great question. You know, I started being acknowledged for my leadership when I was around age 40, and I realized that I had a very mixed reaction to it. Like, some part of me was flattered, and a lot of other parts of me were like, don't put that label on me. I didn't want to be called a leader, and I didn't think I had earned it or deserved it. And a few years after that, I was given an assignment to write the story of my relationship to Bioneers. And what I wrote was that I believed that I was supporting my husband's vision. And it was kind of shocking and horrifying to see that I had written that. And I started asking people around me whether they saw me that way. And my husband was startled and said, not at all, you know. And my colleagues, my male and female colleagues, said, no, we see you as bringing equal amounts to this work to him. And so I realized that that was my own inner story and that I could change it. Mm. And I think it was through that process, as I began to really assess and sort of take stock of what I was good at and then reclaim it and really own its value, that it was an internal process, not standing in front of people. Mm. But there is another piece, which was kind of great. I mentioned in the beginning that my earliest aspiration was in theater, in the arts. Mm. And I worked in theater when I was in my 20s. And I really wanted to do something that I called transformational theater, because I thought it would help. I thought it was the best way to change people's consciousness that I had seen. And then I discovered how hard it was to earn a living at it. I got very cynical and I gave up on that dream. And so sometime in my early 40s, I realized with Bioneers that I had achieved my dream of doing transformational theater. It just had a completely different form than I had ever thought.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That was a beautiful, fulfilling moment.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nina, describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being.
Mm. Well, the habit that I would describe is actually a ritual that I invented for myself, because I realized that I had a habit of getting out of the bath or shower in the morning and seeing myself in the mirror and thinking all these negative thoughts about what was wrong with my body. And I thought, that's terrible. I am doing violence to myself and I don't want to keep doing that. And so I invented a ritual, which I am truly disciplined about, one of the most disciplined things in my life. And every time I get out of the bath or shower in the morning, I actually anoint my body. I make a scented oil with essential oils, and I spend less than 5 minutes consciously anointing my body with this oil that smells wonderful, and I pour love into my body. And so it's a ritual that I love, and I highly recommend it for every woman.
Love that.
Yeah.
Nina, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I think a power of connecting with people in a very intimate way, whether it's one-on-one or whether I'm speaking from a stage. I think that might be the superpower that I would claim.
And how important is it to put yourself first with no judgment, guilt, or shame? Is that hard to do?
Oh.
I mean, I know it is.
It's really hard to do. And I think it's incredibly important. I found that, you know, I grew up with a belief that service was good and self was bad. And so I have been disabusing myself of that belief and shifting it consciously in every way I know how for a lot of years. And it's very tenacious. I think it's a culture-wide thing that women grapple with, because we are all so affirmed for being in service and generous and caring, and we tend to get so much crap for taking care of ourselves. And so I think it's essential. I think it's one of the most core principles of leadership, is that if we don't honor ourselves and the unique instrument we are here to bring, then we burn ourselves out and we perpetuate a culture of violence.
And lastly, what advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
Oh, I would tell her to be kinder and more patient with herself. I just remember her being very anxious and very impatient about knowing what her path was, about having uncertainty about who I was in the world, about wanting a partner and not being able to find one, and all the things that really it took me the next five to 25 years to figure out. And so I would encourage her to be much kinder to herself and more patient.
It's been so wonderful talking to you, Nina Simons. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my great pleasure, Giovanna, and thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and thanks to all your listeners out there who are doing beautiful leadership and mothering and all the ways we bring ourselves to this crazy, ailing world that needs us so badly. Thank you.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Nina Simons, president and co-founder of Bioneers and founder of Every Woman's Leadership. We talked about deep listening, empathy, being patient with yourself, and loving your body, all as contributors to great leadership. You can get the first part of her book for free at www.wellwomanlife.com/Nina. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to apply to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe to the show in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super duper triple awesome week.